from the office of the Minister, Honorable Delil. I hope we have the, there is one from the office of Minister Tracy. I hope so. And the one from the office of the Deputy Minister, Soju. I'm hoping that they are all here. Greetings. We are having this joint committee in which a joint presentation prepared by the task team from both departments will be presented to us. But we can't run away from the fact that we are meeting when a time our country is engulfed in the violence that is happening in Gauteng, in which the foreign nationals are being killed and are being beaten by our own South Africans, which is so sad. We're also meeting when the country is mourning, in deep mourning, of different young girls and women who have been killed. I believe over the last weekend, more than 20 have been killed. Even this morning, a girl in the rural village of Kumbu, Mvumelwano, who went missing on Friday, was found in a pit toilet killed. I believe when she is examined, they will find out she was raped. We are in such a crisis in our country, in which all of us should join hands and be united and in one voice say, stop killing our innocent young girls. We don't need to be politically correct. We don't need to have some religious beliefs, but we need to be united when we fight this thing. It can be your mother. It can be your sister. It can be your own child. It can be your wife. It can be me. It can be you. We need to look at ourselves and ask Ntoba, what happened? Why is this thing happening when we are leading? I believe we are leaders, especially the honorable members. Whatever party that you are coming from, we are all leaders. It's very, very sad. I will then ask all of us, just for a few minutes, stand up and take a moment of silence in respect of all those that have been killed.
Thank you.
As Public Works and Infrastructure, we decided that we must have this joint committee based on few reports coming from our legacy report. In 2017, the committee went to an oversight visit of all the proclaimed small harbors in Western Cape. There were recommendations made regarding the findings of that oversight visit. In 2018, the same committee went to visit on unproclaimed, this time, small harbors that were in Eastern Cape, Port St. John's and Port Grosvenor. Port St. John's already had developmental plans which are ready to be implemented, but not yet proclaimed there. There's nothing that is happening even now. And if you look at it, on the proclaimed small harbors, you will find out that they only set in on the report that we were given on the when we had our first meeting in this term. in which many of those proclaimed small harbors are here in Western Cape, one in KZN, and one in Northern Cape. But when you look at the number of kilometers of the seashore in Eastern Cape, you'll find out the Eastern Cape has the largest, or you can have, has more kilometers of seashore, but there is not a single proclaimed small harbor there. We know what a proclaimed small harbor does in terms of the development of that particular area. We're talking about providing jobs. When a small harbor has been proclaimed and developed, jobs are created. So we felt that today we have to meet with, have this joint committee, including environmental affairs, because some of the issues are there, and environmental affairs also has a role to play in terms of the small harbors. Also, public works has a role to play. I will then, I know I have a co-chair next to me, Honorable F.D. Kasa. I may know him because we're coming from the same Eastern Cape, but I will only introduce to the committee the members of Public Works and Infrastructure who are with us. They are sitting on the first row, if I can say it's the first row. On my right, not on this side, Gamkwati, we have Honorable Fats Kalvik from the ANC. Next to her, we have Honorable Mumalo from the IFP. Next to him, we have Honorable Chabalala from the ANC. Next to her, we have Honorable Hicklin from DA. Next to her, we have Honorable Njobo from the ANC. Next to her, we have Honorable Siwisa from EFF. Next to her, we have Honorable Matebula from the ANC. I've seen Honorable Mashele from the ANC and Honorable Graham from the DA. Honorable Kupane from the DA. Those are the members of the We have also been joined by Honorable Chagu from EFF. Then I would give it over to Honorable Kasa to introduce the members from this committee. Thank you.
Good morning, Honorable Chair, Honorable members. Well, I belong to a church where everybody prays. So I will introduce myself and allow the other members of the committee to do the same. I'm Fikile Kasa, chairperson of the Department of Environment, Forestry and Fisheries. I'm doing it steadily so that I don't miss anything. And then I will start on my right.
Morning, Honorable Chairs and colleagues and everyone. I'm Thembe Kamkhunu, member of the Environment, Forestry and Fisheries Portfolio Committee from the ANC.
Good morning, Chairs, Honorable Members, colleagues. I'm Ngabisa Kanjo from Environmental Affairs, Forestry and Fisheries. I'm representing ANC.
Morning all. My name is Simpiwe Mbatha from the same portfolio committee. Environmental Affairs and Forests from the ANC.
Morning everyone. My name is Saneri Bieber. I'm from the Democratic Alliance, a member of the Environmental Affairs, Fisheries and Forestry.
Hi, Hi, my name is Anna Winkler. I'm from the Democratic Alliance. I'm also part of the Department of Environmental Affairs, Forestry and Fisheries.
Bantu Olomisa, Member of Parliament. Onge ni the subject za mjenge ngusi.
Maybe we should, this is different committee. Okay.
Thank you, Honorable Kasa. Then we have the DG from Public Works and Infrastructure, Advocate. Then you will introduce the team from Public Works and Infrastructure.
Thanks very much, Honorable Chairs, Honorable Members. Colleagues, I have four of my colleagues. Well, I suggest they introduce themselves. And then also colleagues from the Environment and Forestry and Fisheries, they'll also introduce themselves.
Thank you, Honorable Chairperson, Honorable Members, and DG and colleagues. My name is Samuel Tubakhale. I am from the Department of Public Works and Infrastructure. I'm a Deputy Director General responsible for small harbors, coastal properties, development, and special projects.
Good morning, Honorable Members. My name is Riyad Kala. I'm a Project Manager for the Small Harbor State Coastal Property Development Unit within the Department of Public Works and Infrastructure. Thank you.
I'll suggest you introduce yourself. I'm Sam Vukela. I didn't introduce myself. I'm Sam Vukela. Thank you much.
Good morning, Honorable Members. The name is Vuyile Mkebe, PLO to the Deputy Minister of Public Works and Infrastructure.
Good morning, Chairs, Honourable Members, DG, colleagues. My name is Tulani Stemele, PLO in the Minister's Office of Public Works.
Good morning, Honourable Members. My name is Ashley Naidu. I'm the Chief Director for Oceans and Coasts and Southern Oceans Research in the Department of Environmental Affairs, Forestry and Fisheries. And today I'm acting DDG for Oceans and Coasts because our DGD is away. Thank you. I'll ask my colleagues to introduce themselves.
Good morning, Honourable Members. My name is Radia Razak. I'm from the Department of Environmental Affairs, Forestry and Fisheries. I'm the Chief Director in Integrated Coastal Management. Our interest is that we also liaise with the Small Harbour Task Team in terms of the PAKISA initiative and the management of Admiralty and Coastal Reserves. Thank you.
Good morning, Honourable Chairs, Honourable Members and colleagues. My name is Lucas Williams. I am also from the Department of Environmental Affairs, Forest and Fisheries, the new department coming from agriculture. And I am a director there dealing with socioeconomic development issues. And the management of the fishing harbors is also part of my portfolio. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. Separation of powers, Chair. the name is Shoaib Dinesh, content advisor to the committee.
Thank you, Chairperson. Good morning to the Honourable Chairperson, Honourable Members, colleagues, and the DG. My name is Nola Chobotwana. I'm the Committee Secretary, Portfolio Committee on Public Works and Infrastructure.
Whatever there are, I guess I could go on the point also. Why is she not here? No idea.
Thank you, honorable members, and the officials and the support staff to both committees. We'll then hand over to DDG Tabo Khalis. I don't know whether I'm spelling it correctly. Is the one who's going to do the presentation. The presentation has been prepared by the task team of both departments. Okay. We'll hand over to him.
Thank you, Honorable Chairperson. The presentation... will cover the... The presentation has been prepared by the Small Harbors Unit in Public Works, and we also consulted with our colleagues from the Fisheries Unit in the Department of Environment, Forestry and Fisheries. It will cover the background. It will cover the business of the Small Harbors and State Coastal Properties Unit in Public Works and Infrastructure. It will also cover Operation Pakisa Ocean's economy and the role of the Small Harbors and Coastal Properties Unit and the developments that we are tasked with coordinating. It will also cover marine infrastructure developments that we are responsible for. It will also cover external funding engagements that we interacted with in doing our work. We'll also reflect on property management and development programs that we are responsible for. We will also take the committee through the human resource capacity that we have as a practicality. And we have got demonstrations of the work that we have done, especially in the repairs and maintenance part of our work, to show the type of impact that it has in improving operations in the small harbors. We will then reflect on the progress that we have made in addressing the challenges that we will raise at the beginning of the presentation. That we will do towards the end, and we'll then reflect on the recommendations. Let me also indicate, Honorable Chairperson, that we structured the presentation to give a background, because for us it is important for the background to provide a good grounding for the work that we are doing. South Africa has a coastline of approximately 3,000 kilometers, and that is currently underutilized, and it has a great economic potential within the ocean's economy. There are 12 proclaimed fishing harbors in the Western Cape, and approximately 55 unproclaimed harbors that are found in the Northern Cape, Eastern Cape, and KwaZulu-Natal. There has not been any new public harbor built since the 1950s. This was the responsibility of Fisheries Development Corporation, then VISCO, which was abolished in around 1986. The work in the small harbors has been done in the department before 2015 as part of the construction project management and other units in the department. But in 2015, a decision was then taken to have a dedicated unit established to focus on small harbors. And this was also influenced by the fact that Operation Pakisa Ocean's Economy had taken off. It's a unit that is additional to the structure of the department, and it's a small unit, with 5 dedicated staff and 2 secondments from within the department. As part of reconfiguring the new Department of Public Works and Infrastructure, the DG and the minister has taken a decision to establish the unit as a permanent unit of the department, and this process will be finalized in this financial year. It will then have its own space in the strategic plan of the department. At the moment, the annual performance plan of the unit falls within the real estate management services part of the strategic plan and the annual performance plan of the department. The indicators are under real asset management services in the PMTE annual performance plan. We are responsible for approximately 1,500 state-owned coastal properties, including proclaimed fishing harbors and marine infrastructure along the coastline. Given the large scope of our work, we received an allocation of $400 million over the MTF period in 2016-17 financial year to do the current repairs and maintenance program that we are implementing in the proclaimed fishing harbors in the Western Cape. We did not receive funding for the Northern Cape, Eastern Cape, and KwaZulu-Natal. In our view, we are poised to act as a catalyst for socio-economic development and job creation along the South African coastline. We are then reflecting three challenges that we face as a unit. Is the budget issue, is the human capital. I've already reflected on that. And the space of small harbors, especially property management, did not have a legging out framework that would then be utilized to manage long-term leases that the unit is supposed to manage in ensuring that it attracts investment into the small harbor space, creating jobs and developing SMEs. There was also a delay in convening the Operation Fakisa Small Harbors Development Lab, and the Special Economic Development Frameworks were only developed for 12 proclaimed fishing harbors in the Western Cape. So those still had to be developed for the Eastern Cape, the Northern Cape, and KZN. Later on in the presentation, I will then demonstrate how we dealt with these triple challenges, because we've made considerable progress in addressing those. The next part of the presentation talks to the business of small harbors and state coastal properties. And the demonstration that we're making there is that we've got a three-dimensional task. The first one is to coordinate and integrate the inputs, plans, and projects and developments that national departments would want to implement in the small harbor space as part of their service delivery programs. The second part is that we then manage the property portfolio in the small harbor space as part of the custodial role of the Department of Public Works and Infrastructure, informed by GIAMA. We also are responsible for maintenance and repairs, and if there's a construction of new infrastructure, we'd also be responsible for that in the small harbors. And that work we are poised to do in the four coastal provinces. The next slide talks to how these functions then interacts with other functions of the Department of Public Works and Infrastructure and the Property Management Trading Entity. Here we are basically indicating that the small harbors unit is an embodiment of all the functions of what Public Works and Infrastructure Department does and the Property Management Trading Entity. Where there's construction, we are supposed to be dealing with that. Where there's maintenance, we're supposed to be dealing with that. We're supposed to also contribute to financial sustainability of the Property Management Trading Entity. We also have a role to play in letting out properties and contract management of properties that are let out to the private sector for investment. We are also responsible for ensuring that there is a good relationship between property trading, property management trading entity, and the clients that we interact with as the small harbors unit. I've already indicated that we play a role in coordinating the efforts of national departments, provinces, and also municipalities in contributing to developments in the small harbor space that we do under the auspices of Operation Pakisa. I've already alluded to the fact that we do infrastructure development, repairs and maintenance, and lastly, we have a function that has to do with property management and contract management of the letting out framework. We also thought that it is important for us to just reflect to the joint committees the importance of a good relationship and a very clear practical engagements between government, the harbour users, and that is the communities that live along the coastlines, investors that are interested in making business in small harbours, and also small harbours management. And in this instance, you have your harbour masters and the team that is on the ground in the small harbours. I must also indicate that at the moment, as I have outlined the human resource capacity we have, we in establishing the unit as a permanent unit, we are also looking at ensuring that there is a footprint of Department of Public Works and Infrastructure and the property management trading entity in each and every small harbour. But what is important here is that if we don't have a public-private partnership in terms of investments and ensuring that the small harbors operate optimally, we are going to have non-functional harbors. The infrastructure continues to deteriorate, and the poor harbor performance and leads to lack of interest from investors. And also, as government, if we don't coordinate our inputs properly, we fail to benefit from the economies of scale. If the Department of Tourism comes with a project and public and infrastructure doesn't come in, environment, forestry and fisheries doesn't come in, we might end up having duplications or delays, especially when we look at the role that is played by the department, the section that deals with the environment, environmental management in terms of approving EIAs. So our work in the Operation Pakisa space is meant to integrate these efforts and ensure that we provide a one-stop shop service as government to developments in the small harbors. The next section, honorable members, talks to Operation Pakisa Ocean's economy and the space of small harbors development. We are basically here reflecting on the outcomes of the Small Harbor Development Lab, a planning forum that we held for a period of 4 weeks, with multiple stakeholders from national departments, provincial departments, municipalities, business sector, and community organizations. This planning forum was important because it then came up with detailed plans on how we will then be able to approach development of small harbors within the auspices of Operation Pakisa. Slide 16 shows the aspects of Operation Pakisa Ocean's economy, and it is highlighted there that small harbors development is one of the aspects. The end point is for the ocean's economy to contribute up to 177 billion to the gross domestic product, and also by 2033, and ensure that it also contributes to the creation of 1 million jobs by 2033. We, as a small harbors development unit, also have got a role to contribute to this objective. The lab was supposed to have been convened in 2015. We were able to convene it in 2018. As I have indicated, that the unit was only put in place as a dedicated unit in 2015. The slide number 18 shows the spread of the representation.
Right, can you go back? Oh, okay. As I've indicated, honourable members, that the planning conference took 4 weeks, and the program was arranged as follows. We first looked at the problem analysis. The second week we looked at initiative design. We then developed implementation plans. They are called 3-foot plans because they are supposed to be very detailed. And then week four we looked at the costing and the funding. We also divided the conference into 4 working streams. A stream that focuses on establishing new small harbors and development of coastal properties. And this is the stream that looked at the work that is supposed to be done in the, it's slide number 19. This is the work stream that focused on the work that is supposed to be done in the 3 other provinces where there are no proclaimed fishing harbors. Work stream number 2 focused on the redevelopment and maintenance of existing small harbors, and this is the stream that also looked in detail at the work that we're currently doing and how do we upscale that work in the Western Cape. The work stream 3 looked at socio-economic impact, job creation, skills development and enterprise development as the crux of the work that we should be doing in the small harbor space across the 4 provinces. Work stream 4 looked at institutional arrangements, governance and operational management. This work stream was very important, and because we also realized that we have to ensure that we streamline our functions between the national departments, provinces, and municipalities. And we used the city of Cape Town as a case study because of the interactions that we've been having with the city of Cape Town, especially because of the existence of the proclaimed fishing harbors within that space. Honorable Chairpersons and honorable members, I'm not necessarily going to go through all the initiatives. The lab came up with 14 initiatives, and those initiatives, each of those initiatives have got a 3-foot plan that is meant to then help us implement in the coming 5 years at a strategic level. But safe to say, for work stream 1, we are finalizing guidelines for development of coastal environments, and we're doing that with the Department of Environment, Forestry and Fisheries. We are also consolidating the work around establishment of coastal commons. These are spaces where communities normally come together and interact in the space of small harbors at a very, 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 very elementary level. And we want to develop that to a level where we're able to open access to communities to participate in the mainstream of the economy in the harbor space. On work stream 2, as I indicated, is practically the work that we are doing in the construction space and repairs and maintenance. Work stream 3, the initiatives there focused on specific detailed plans on transforming and making the point that there are empowerment programs for local communities in the small harbor space. It also looked at developing an SMME program and also a skills development program. I indicated that in the lab itself, we had different national departments that participated. So, for instance, on SMME development, that work stream was led by the Department of the Department of Small Business. Work stream 4, as I've already alluded to, looked at what is it that we need to make it a point that we harmonize different legislations and regulations that different departments have in ensuring that we manage the small harbor space. But we agreed at the lab that the first thing that we need is to develop a protocol of engagement so that we are able to harness our efforts between national departments, provinces, and municipalities, and I will reflect later on on the progress that we've made. We have aligned the work streams to the 7 presidential priorities as pronounced in the State of the Nation address, and we're doing a demonstration on the slide that is flighted there. The next section of the presentation deals with the governance structures that Operation Pachisa dictates we should create in the small harbor space, flowing from the interministerial committee that has been set up on the oceans economy, which is chaired by the Minister of DPME and the Minister of Environment, Forestry and Fisheries. Our minister participates in the interministerial committee. It is supported by a LEP coordinating committee, which is a committee of DGs that then provide the technical support to the ministers that would then report to cabinet. And we thought that it is important just to give a joint committee meeting a demonstration of how the committees are actually related. The in terms of Operation Pachisa, the Minister of Public Works and Infrastructure would then have to set up a small harbor steering committee that then provides reports on a quarterly basis. And that committee is supported by the DG with other DGs from the departments that are part of the committee. Most importantly, at a provincial and municipality level, we sit with the same national departments in a harbor steering committee. For instance, in the Western Cape, we have a harbor steering committee. This is the committee that looks at projects and specific programs in a small harbor space, in specific small harbors. The work that we do, the committee sits on a bi-monthly basis, and National Treasury is also part of this committee. We look at the budget, we look at the needs, we look at the developments that are supposed to be driven in the small harbor space, the repairs and maintenance, just to make it a point that each and every small harbor has got a clear focus and attention in terms of making the point that the operations are optimal. We also have got the provincial coastal committees. These are committees that looks at the input of provinces in development in the small harbors. The next slide basically unpacks the steering committee that I indicated that the Minister of Public Works and Infrastructure will then oversee. And this is the committee that will contribute to the Interministerial Committee on the Oceans Economy. And as it is listed there, honorable members can see that we cover all departments that have programs that impact in the small harbor space, or departments that have an interest, or departments that we would want to partner with. And we also cover the coastal provinces, the district municipalities, and the local municipalities. This structure, the structure that we will be officially launching in the month of October, with the minister. At an administrative level, the technical structure that gives support to the ministerial structures is outlined in the slide that is flighted there, and it is also fashioned in a manner that includes all three spheres of government. These are structures that were not established before we went to the lab. These are structures that are a part of the outcome of the lab, and for us, this is a development that is very significant in ensuring that the product that comes out of government in developing small harbors is an integrated product. The work that we have done post the LEP that we held in November is as follows. We have finalized the LEP report. We have done that with DPME, because DPME are the methodology or custodians of Operation Pachisa. We have also finalized the three-fit plans. They were moderated by technical services colleagues from DPME. We have established a secretariat at our level, as I've indicated, that we'll be launching the ministerial structure in October. The implementation protocol that I alluded to, that is supposed to help us smooth our working relations with municipalities and provinces. The draft has been finalized. We are actually in the process of consulting It has already been presented to the Department of Local Government for it to be rolled out through SALGA and the other governance structures within the local government space. The next part of the presentation talks to marine infrastructure, the work that we're doing in the main maintenance and repairs work that we have been doing in the Western Cape, as one has alluded to the fact that we are having projects that we are implementing to ensure that the small harbors in the Western Cape function optimally. We are doing this work in partnership with the Department of Environment, Forestry and Fisheries. There we simply indicating the role that we are playing, and we are counterbalancing that with the revenue that is collected from the small harbors. The revenue goes to the Department of Environment, Forestry and Fisheries. But the point of that slide is that in our view, the revenues that are collected, and this is the matter that we're discussing with Treasury, in our view, this revenue is supposed to be ring-fenced and be plowed back into small harbors to continue to ensure that the operations are funded properly, and we're able to maintain and repair the infrastructure that is there. The scope of the work that we have been doing with the 402 million that I alluded to before is the removal of sunken vessels, the work around dredging, repairs and upgrades to slipways, shore crane replacement, security installations and apparatus, and civil and electrical infrastructure repairs. And this work we are doing across the 12 proclaimed small harbors, as the picture shows there. I must indicate at this point that in terms of the condition assessment that we did of the infrastructure, the state of the infrastructure in this harbors, the initial funding that we, or budget requirements, that were going to put us in a position to at least deal with the pressure point was around 800 million, but the department could only be able to provide 400 million. So in the scope of the work that we are doing, we have to then prioritize and do the minimum to ensure that the harbors continue to work. But I will also reflect later on what we have done as a department to ensure that we deal with the budget gaps. The next slide simply shows a graphical representation of the condition assessment that we did for House Bay Harbour, and it shows different sections that we worked on. For instance, the red circles there, they show the work that we had to do in terms of dredging, and this would then help to ensure that the vessels are able to traverse the harbour in a more comfortable manner. The yellow orange circles show the space that was occupied by sunken vessels that were blocking the traffic of other vessels in the small harbour. This is the work that we had to do to remove those to ensure that there is trafficability and business can flow in the small harbour space. The next slide shows a bathymetric survey that is also part of the condition assessment. The red areas show the extent to which sand had built up in the harbour space, and this in itself was obstructing vessels from mooring and also from also launching and being able to traffic around the small harbour space. The next slide is a slide that then gives a summary of progress of the work that we have done in the repairs and the maintenance program. As it can, it is presented there. On sunken vessels, we were able to remove 29 vessels across the seven identified harbours. We were able to create 110 jobs, and 11 SMMEs were empowered to the tune of 3.5 million in the work that we did.
Also on dredging, we were able to complete dredging in the three of the eight harbors, and we created 92 jobs, and 10 SMEs were empowered to the tune of 3.4 million, and this program is ongoing. The second vessels program, we're finished with the scope that we had, given the budget that was at our disposal. This area is a bit of a problem because we need to improve how we work between ourselves and the Department of Environment, Forestry and Fisheries. We removed these sunken vessels and the owners still, you know, leave some vessels in the small harbor space. So by coordinating well together, we're able to keep that, because removing these vessels is actually a very expensive exercise. We also reflect on repairs to slipway. We, in that space, we created 91 jobs and 17 SMEs were empowered to the tune of 6 million, and 54 youth in the APWP program were appointed, and this is also ongoing. The work that we're also doing in repairing shore cranes is also ongoing. Repairing of shore cranes is a specialized work, so there wouldn't be a huge amount of jobs created in that space. Here, what is important is that we are able to sustain the construction companies that play a role in the space. The security infrastructure and civil and electrical work is the work that we have now planned to do. We are finalizing supply chain management processes, and we'll be taking the contractors on site. But I must indicate that the security infrastructure work, civil and electrical, is very important, because if we don't have that work done, all the other improvements that we do in repairing and maintaining small harbors then get prone to criminals that would then take out steel and go and sell or vandalize the small harbors, especially the security infrastructure. The next slide shows the effect of the work that we have done, especially we're showcasing the dredging work that we did in Gordon's Bay. On the left hand side, you see the red circle shows the filtration of sand that was making it difficult for vessels to navigate in the space. The next picture that shows A and B shows how clear the space is because of the dredging work that we have done. The next slide simply talks to the shortfall of 388 million that I've spoken to in terms of the budget. We will then move to the next part of the presentation. This part of the presentation, honourable members, is focusing on the opportunities that were availed by National Treasury in twofold. Departments were given an opportunity to submit proposals for general budget support, which is grant funding from the European Union, and also the budget for infrastructure funding that Treasury is managing. We then put two applications. The first application we put was for the General Budget Support Program, the GBS program, and our proposal was accepted, and we were then given an approval of funding to the tune of 60 million for the next MTF period, starting from this financial year moving on. And the funding is meant to allow us to develop special and economic development frameworks for Port Nolloth, Port St. John's, and Port Edward. These are the three priority small harbors in the other three provinces, the Eastern Cape, the KZN, and the Northern Cape. We are also, through this funding, going to be able to implement the short-term Operation Pakisa initiative, the three-fit plan that I alluded to. We'll also be able to construct basic maritime infrastructure in the three other provinces where we're not doing work at the moment. We'll be able to at least construct launching sites, slipways, jetties, and build cold storage facilities, just to get basic economic activity taking space, taking place in those spaces, and to make it a point that we at least open access to the communities that do not have access to the ocean's economy. And we will also utilize the funding to train and develop environmental officers, operations managers, and harbor safety officers from the communities as part of the expanded public works program. In terms of readiness for implementing this program under the General Budget Support Program, we have finalized the supply chain management processes, and the DG has also given us an approval for us to proceed to work with the Development Bank of South Africa in implementing the program. The next funding that we were given an opportunity to apply for is the Budget Facility for Infrastructure. This is the funding that, as directed by Cabinet, the National Treasury is working with the Presidential Infrastructure Coordinating Commission, the DPME, and the Department of Economic Development. There's a joint technical committee that looks at economic stimulus projects and programs that departments are proposing. We then put a proposal informed by the work that we did in the lab, the 3-fit plans that I alluded to, and the special economic development frameworks that already exist for the proclaimed fishing harbors in the Western Cape. The joint technical committee expected us to have convened the lab, and so we were able to demonstrate that we have done that. They also expected us to show how we are going to implement the SEDFs. We were able to do that. The issue that was raised was that we should put in place a program management unit to build capacity of the small harbors unit to implement the programs, and I already alluded that a decision has been taken by the minister to make the small harbors unit a permanent a unit in the structure of public works and infrastructure as part of the reconfiguring the new department. And we then were also required to demonstrate the revenue generation potential of the small harbor, because National Treasury wanted to make it a point that the investment that the state makes is going to then also contribute to the national fiscus through the generation of revenue. We were able to demonstrate that through the 1,500 properties that were the custodians of as Department of Public and Infrastructure, we will be able to attract investments that would raise revenue. The Minister's Committee on the Budget then recommended the funding to the amount of 1.6 billion as the initial funding for the MTS period. In line with the proposal that was then submitted. So we're working closely with National Treasury to ensure that all the recommendations of the Minister's Committee on the Budget are implemented. The Harbour Steering Committee that I alluded to in the provinces, especially the one that is also existing in the Western Cape, is going to be utilized to do project management oversight, because as I indicated there, we sit with the local municipalities, we sit with the province, and we sit with the Department of Environment, Forest and Fisheries as the Department of Public Works and Infrastructure. And we will then put together a program management unit to beef up the capacity that we have to be able to implement the program. The two funding streams have been able to give us space to address the budget shortfalls that I alluded to. The last part of the presentation talks to the property management and development program. We are currently managing 333 state, local, coastal leases. These are leases that generate around 16.7 million. These are leases that we are involved in the private sector that exists in the space of the small harbors. These are historical leases, so they are currently paying nominal rentals. And We then worked with National Treasury to develop a new letting out framework. The new letting out framework addresses the following: it standardizes the approach on how we let out state coastal properties in line with the PFMA. It provides space to renegotiate and regularize the existing leases. It also provides space to update the property information in line with the asset register, the immovable asset register. It assists us in linking the lease terms to company operational licenses and fishing quotas that would then have been approved by the Department of Environment, Forest and Fisheries. The implementation provides a space for a minimum base rental with inclusive with inclusive rates and taxes, and then it excludes utilities that those that are leasing our properties will have to pay themselves to the municipality. The rental amount includes a percentage of turnover that may be charged where feasible, and it will be benchmarked to be in line with the market-related rental. And we have customized the implementation of the letting out framework in three stages. We will first focus on Operation Pakis Aquaculture projects. These are projects that have been approved by the Department of Environment, Forestry and Fisheries. They are investments in the small harbor space. We will focus on prioritizing those, and then we'll then focus on renewing the current leases that are existing, primarily because actually some of them are leases that are held by SMMEs that are existing in the space, as much as there are big businesses that operate there. And then we will then give an opportunity for new developmental proposals from the private sector to be considered as part of implementing the letting out framework. The next slide talks to the content of the letting out framework. What is important with this slide is that we have categorized the evaluation of proposals to cater for micro enterprises, very small enterprises, medium and large enterprises. And we're looking at ensuring that we do away with barriers to entry. We enable small businesses to be able to get into the space. And that's why we have categorized them in terms of the annual turnover. And for instance, we are saying for micro enterprises, mm-hmm. we're looking at those that are having an annual turnover of less than 1 million. And we, in the letting out framework, we have a dispensation that will be able to help them to establish themselves in the small harbor space without having to pay hefty rentals. And the categorization goes in terms of the size of the businesses, the last one being medium and large enterprises that are having an annual turnover of more than 50 million. So the proposals will be evaluated according to the size of the businesses and applicable scorecard to ensure that the process is fair and equitable. But most importantly, the letting out framework itself, creates business opportunities for women, for persons with disabilities, the youth, and also it provides employment potential. The 333 leases that are already existing are actually helping us sustain jobs on a contractual basis. These are jobs that are more sustainable, more sustainable than the expanded public works program jobs. And some of the jobs are actually long-term jobs. They are linked to the security of tenure of the tenants that are currently we have leased out properties to. We're looking at job creation and that also accommodating demand for localization and the utilization of SME suppliers and employment of local communities as we implement the letting out framework. And we'll also be looking at specific concessions for the informal business, non-profit organizations and micro-enterprises and cooperatives, whereby the rental to be charged will be limited to the basic rates and taxes levied on property by the municipality, consent plus a 20% administration fee. This is the lowest that we will be able to go to accommodate the non-profit organizations, cooperatives, and small enterprises that are at a startup phase in terms of their development. And in this slide basically demonstrates the evaluation process that we will go through, which is dictated to by supply chain management regulations. In terms of the progress that we've made in implementing in readying ourselves to implement the framework, we have finalized the internal circular for the approval of the DG. Yeah, the DG has approved that. So in the month of October, we'll be issuing out a request for proposals to the six aquaculture investment opportunities that have been approved by the Department of Forestry, Environment, Forestry and Fisheries as a priority, because that will then contribute to the objective of expanding the work that we're doing in the ocean's economy. The second priority will be the existing tenants that we were having, the 333, to at least give them a security of tenure for them to be able to expand their businesses and stabilize. And the last part will be issuing out requests for proposals for new entrance into the space. The next slide was basically showing the potential if we implement the letting out framework, and we just use a flat rate of 100 rand per square meter, and that can automatically increase our revenue to around 55 billion. So we're looking at a portfolio of the state that can actually sustain investments from the private sector, sustain jobs, and provide opportunities for small and medium enterprises to thrive if we implement the letting out framework. The next slide, Honorable Chairperson and Honorable Members, is a reflection of the performance of the units in the 2018-19 financial year. We had a target of creating 851 new working opportunities. Of creating 1,000 new working opportunities, we created 851, and I have indicated that our limitations were around the fact that we are a small unit, and the spread of the tenants throughout the Western Cape and other provinces was giving us a challenge in terms of reaching those. With the advent of the units being expanded and capacity being given, we will reach our planned objectives. In the 19-20 financial year, we have planned to create 2,000 new work opportunities, and we've also planned to increase the revenue from 16.7 million that I've just demonstrated. We plan to increase that with 20% as an annual target. The slides on the current resource human resource capacity we have demonstrates, as I have indicated, that we've got a program manager, two chief directors, and two deputy directors. That's what we operate with. All these are resources that are on a contract basis in terms of the dispensation. And this is the structure that we have come up with. It is the structure that will then be utilized to formalize the unit to make it a permanent unit of the Department of Public Works and Infrastructure in line with the new reconfiguration. The last slide, Honorable Chairperson and Honorable Members, basically shows the work that we've done. And the challenges that we faced. For instance, that one shows it's a picture of how the sunken vessels were affecting traffic in Hout Bay. The next slide will show the after effects, the end results. After we have removed those sunken vessels, the space is clear for business to operate. The next slide shows the SMEs that we have empowered in line with the report that I've given and the skills that we have developed nine local trained as commercial divers. This is a skill that they continue to take forward then in their lives. The next slide shows the repairs that we are doing to the slipways. The first part shows the rusty steel, and the next slide shows the renewed part. The blue part there is the renewed part. The next slide shows the informal business that takes place in Hout Bay and Gulf Bay. And if we work together with the municipalities, we'll be able to formalize this informal traders and ensure that we even minimize the accidents that can happen there. The next slide is actually very important to us because we enable the National Sea Rescue Institute to operate and to be able to launch their missions in the small harbor space, because they are housed in the infrastructure that we provide as the public works and infrastructure department.
Mm.
The next slide shows the vandalized buildings. This is Hermanas. This is basically the challenge that we face in almost all the small harbors. That's why we're indicating that we need to move into the space of providing infrastructure, safety and security infrastructure in the small harbors. We have now put together a plan to renovate this vandalized building. We're working together with the local community to see if we can't then avail this infrastructure for employment opportunities for the youth. And we're working with the small business development department. And also we are discussing with our colleagues in the fisheries unit in the Department of Environment, Forest and Fisheries. We hope once we finish this, it will also allow local communities to interact with the economy in Hermanas, as this is a small harbor space where mostly the economic activity centers around the retired, and the local communities are not having that much space to participate in the economy. But with this infrastructure, hopefully we'll be able then to open the space. And this is the model that we want to then utilize in all the small harbors, to have a specific center of operation where communities can be able to directly walk in, interact, and be able to receive advices and services from government departments on opportunities that are open, and also be able to come up with suggestions on what they can be able to initiate as entrepreneurs. The next slide talks to just a summary of what we have been able to do to deal with the triple challenges that I reflected on. To mitigate the budget issue, I have presented that we have secured funding from General Budget Support Program and the Budget Facility for Infrastructure from Treasury. In terms of human capital resources, I have indicated that the unit will now be a permanent unit of the department with the necessary required capacity in line with what Treasury has also recommended as part of the Budget Facility for Infrastructure approval. And we have finalized the three-fit plans out of Operation Pakisa Lab, and the letting out framework has been approved by the DG, so supply chain management processes will then unfold as I have already indicated. The last slide basically covers the recommendations that we are humbly submitting to the Joint Portfolio Committee, that the work that we are doing in ensuring that proclaimed fishing harbors are in operational state, please be noted. The development plan for unproclaimed harbors along the coastline, with specific reference to Northern Cape, Eastern Cape, and KwaZulu-Natal, and the calibration of plans for infrastructure development over the next 5 years also be noted by the committee. But most importantly, we are humbly submitting that we obtain the required oversight support from the Joint Portfolio Committee on the work that we are doing as the Department of Public Works and Infrastructure and the Department of Environment, Forestry and Fisheries, respectively. Mm-hmm. Thank you for the time that I have been provided to Honorable Chairperson to present an honorable member.
Thank you for such a presentation. I will then hand over to
Honorable Pastor to chair this part of the engagement.
You can open your own computer in case they want to go back to the side.
Well, let me take this opportunity to say we have listened to the presentation, and I expect honorable members to now raise their hands. Our duty as public representatives is to ask any question. And as long as that question reflects where you come from, it's not coming from you as a person. I will give you numbers because I don't want to mess up and with your names. Since I'm here, can I start counting? I'll start at the this 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. I think everybody will keep their numbers so that if then we have messed up anybody, I think we'll take that. Number one? We don't know.
I'm number one. I couldn't tell. They told me I was two, so I apologize.
Thank you, Chair. I appreciate it. Thank you very much for the very, very thorough presentation. Just a couple of questions. Slide 40 speaks to the risk of not funding the complete program. So you talk about a big shortfall of 482 million rand. So currently there's 402 million that has been allocated. Has this been fully utilized and has it been properly utilized? And was it only earmarked for the existing harbors, in other words, not for the development of new harbors? How much work must still be done on the existing PFHs? And then the 60 million, is that you've gotten from the external funders, is that only being utilized now for the development of the new harbors, or is that falling within the framework that you speak about on slide 40? And then where are we going to get the other 482 million that's required to see this entire project through without it becoming fruitless and wasteful expenditure because we haven't been able to complete the project? On slide 76, you speak about a 3 feet plan. Maybe it's a spelling mistake, or I've never heard of a 3 feet plan. So if you could just elaborate what that is. And then it's a question that keeps bothering us here. IDT is the implementation arm of the Department of Public Works and Infrastructure, and yet we are giving other organizations implementation programs. Why is DBSA being tasked with the implementation or the oversight or the monitoring of this project when we have an implementation arm that actually needs to become self-sustaining and can't become self-sustaining if we're not giving it projects to do and we're not allowing it the opportunity to do that? Also, IDT is an entity of public works, and it's easy for us to do oversight of IDT because it's an entity of public works. DBSA is not accountable to us in any way, shape, or form. The only mechanism we have for monitoring that is through the contractual relationship between the department and DBSA. And we don't even have sight of those contracts, so it's very difficult for us then to do oversight over DBSA. So if you could just give some clarity around that, please. Thank you.
Two.
Thank you, Chair, and thank you for the presentation. I noted that there was an interdepartmental meeting held last year where concerns over the policing of small harbors were broached. I'd like to know, has any progress been made in this regard in terms of illicit activity at small harbors and security, especially with vandalism to infrastructure? With regard to the 12 nautical mile constraint, has SANDIF intervened. Are we monitoring this coastal line? In terms of SME development, how many women have been empowered through these initiatives? I know that you spoke of commercial driving programs, and I'd like to know how this is balanced in terms of the gender parity. Thank you.
Thank you, Chairperson. I won't be long. I can see that the time is not on our side. Safe to say that I am curious, and I can see that most of the things will transpire most when we do the site visit. Because right now I'm trying to imagine whatever that is being said, even the comparison between the proclaimed and the unproclaimed. Safe to say that it's very curious for me to realize that Western Cape have had the advantage over our rural areas, especially your KZN. But let me leave that to another debate for another time. You have spoken, I'm not going to indicate the slides and so forth. I'll just highlight whatever that's after the notes. Last week we had a meeting where the Council for Engineers, Defense Council, were making a presentation and how the graduates, the engineers, different are struggling to get the accreditation because they don't have the work experience. So they practice without being part of those councils. I am asking whether is it possible for you to look into this one tender that you said you were going to convert the two into one tender. Can't we look at appointing this contract individual engineer so that if this job requires 30 electrical and civil of whatever kind, if it needs 30 engineers, at least we know that you have given them the opportunity to be right at practical experience so that at least we know that you have assisted them to be part of the council and get the necessary accreditation rather than everything to be located around the tender in one person who may even have to he himself would be a person that has got the accreditation and employ others, but whatever that will happen is will not be fair because all these engineers, they work for a small amount. If they make it to the completion of the project, it's by luck. And then I wish to know the list of the potential, maybe it may not necessarily be today, but to be specific, if you are talking about KZN, you're saying they are potential, where are they? But I want to highlight the fact that in KZN, you have Margate, which is a small hub. You have Margate. But I know that there is also Makambi. And I'm not sure whether you have heard about Makambi. Makambi is historically the envisaged big project that was supposed to get to the international funders, but because of the community around Nkosi Mathaba that voted against it. But the department, two departments, are doing something, and I'm not sure whether we all in sync with what is happening there. I know that Esmagate, Department of HR, has done in small aquarium. I'm aware that Esmagate, in a small scale, there is a project that has been initiated on fisheries. At what stage it is, I am not aware. But those people are sitting with a vast land, they are a deep rural area under Inkosi, and they are not benefiting, of course, on anything. They just wake up and look at the screen. If there are people that are doing something, it's actually a small scale. And then I wish to know the the requirement.
I'm allowing you because you are representing rural area, so you can complete your.
The requirements of letting out. I can see that those that have been there might have benefited to the disadvantage of those that are coming in, because they are now going to let out on a daily. Of the land, they're off on, they're going to use the rates that are relevant to the day. Whereas the historical ones have benefited with low rental as it
were. Thank you. Number four.
Thank you, Chair. In one of your reports, you are saying that you are responsible for maintenance and development. And then when we sit in public works meetings or committee meetings, we are always told that whatever building that you are leasing out, you are not responsible, you don't have funds for maintenance of those buildings. How are you going to do that maintenance? And then coming to page 30, when is the implementation going to take place? You know, it's nice to write big things on black and white, but then when it comes to implementation, it's going to take about 3 years. So if you can be specific, when is that going to take place? Removal of vessels. What is the role of the owner of the vessel in this whole process if we are going to spend money removing the vessels and keeping them on our premises? So what is their role in this whole process? Are they paying anything? Rentals to the rentals that you are speaking about, you already have a crisis in Department of Public Works. Our sister department is not paying for their leases towards public works. How are you going to make sure that whoever we are leasing out to is going to make the payments on time? Because we have a crisis as public works alone, and now we are starting small harbors and renting out places. Is there an implementation plan to make sure that everybody that we are leasing out to is actually going to pay on time? And if they are not paying on time, what are you going to do about that? We don't want to come and sit there and be told that after 6 months that, oh, Miss Siwisa, we've rented out, released out the building, she hasn't paid 1, 2, 3, 4, we are in the process of whatever, whatever, whatever. So we need a clear plan as to what's going to happen. Thank you.
Number five.
Thank you, Honorable Chair. My first question is, during the lab, when they everything was processed, and also in the whole process, is South African Weather Service Authority involved in this whole thing? Because I'm sure I know that they do have a responsibility in terms of oceans economy. The second one is. In your recommendations, you talk about the time frame to complete the plan for unclaimed. I mean, you talk about the plan for unclaimed harbors. What is the time frame? how long is the plan going to take so that we can see the implementation thereof? And in the plan, I'm suggesting, you know, I'm proposing that we include the training of local communities that there are supposed to be beneficiaries of that particular harbour beforehand. They are trained and they are made aware of what is going to be taking place, so that we don't get people revolting against whatever that the government is presenting to them. Involve them beforehand. So in your plan, they must be involved. And the other question is in your organogram. The vacancies that are there in the organogram, are they funded? And when do you intend filling them? Because if you have a vacancy and you are faced with such a huge task of ensuring that you provide the jobs and create jobs, we create an environment for the jobs, it's really very, very important that we do have the human resource that is going to assist us. And the last one is about the Richards Bay Harbour. I know it's one of the deepest harbour. Is there any plan of it going towards having a container terminal that is, you know, that is able to take the ITZ, because we've got an industrial developmental zone there, to assist them to be able to grow. And the other question is that, are you working with the developmental zones in different areas wherever we are working as public works in terms of the oceans economy? Where those are, those developmental zones are next to the harbour? Thank you.
Number seven.
Thank you. It's me. All six.
No, it doesn't matter. I'll follow you.
Thank you for honoring me. Thank you, Chairperson. You know, the first thing, I thought that both the departments, the environmental affairs and the DPW, will give us the progress and their challenges so that we know how far are they and where are the challenges and what are they doing to resolve those challenges. I don't see that. I would get confused on this presentation, and it's worse when it talks about high level program. I think we've had it in our PC portfolio committee, and we said to dear to environmental affairs, please don't tell us about high level, because it doesn't assist us. Be on our level and tell us exactly what is happening so that we can assist you, because we are here to assist you. Then when you look on the issue of the vessels on page 11, where you say that it's you remove the vessels from the sea, and once the vessels are stuck there in that sea, there's water pollution from the oil and the other stuff. And according to the policies from environmental management, it says the polluter pays. So how do you make sure that the polluter pays? Because they must make sure that they clean their pollution and they pay. They make sure that there's no pollution in that water to avoid to protect the life of the animals in that sea. And then there's a shortage of staff. Yes, there's a shortage of staff. I understand that. But when is it going to be advertised? When are those positions going to be advertised so that we have permanent people working to assist? We are very few. I understand that, but when is it going to be advertised? How far? You should have told us that this is how far we have done. We are about to advertise, and this will be corrected, the corrective measure. And when it comes to the FMMEs, you've mentioned that, yes, it's good, it should be the young people, the women, the disabled, and so forth. You should have told us from the SMMEs that have been developed, how many are young people, how many are women, how many are whatsoever, according to your category there. And the other thing is the 55 unproclaimed areas. When are you, what is the strategy to correct that? I know you don't have funds, but there must be a corrective measures that you are busy with as a department in order to correct it. Whether it's a long-term process or it's a short-term, but it looks like it's going to be a short-term. And when you are talking about the construction waste, because you are working with DIA, and when PAKISA was established, it's the main issue also is to look at the waste management. What are you doing with your construction waste management so that it doesn't pollute the oceans there and so forth and other waste? But I thought that because it's the two departments, we'll also touch on that. Thank you.
Thank you, Chairperson. We must commend the Department of Public Works for this detailed report, with the exception of the lack of issues related to challenges and the problems stated by the last speaker. However, I'm a little bit confused about. I will need to be taught a little bit about these implementing agencies like IDG, GOHA, and some of them, they don't even have engineers. Why don't you, as the Department of Public Works, use the old system of going to tender and get the best implementing companies instead of throwing the money to one agent? And they don't have the capacity. Look at what mess they've done in the hospitals in the Eastern Cape. But let me come back to the topic at hand. I would strongly suggest that this department, these two departments, must have a session with the Air Force and Navy, especially for the proposed new small harbors to be built, so that they are satisfied with the security of the area. We are worried in this country about the goods which are entering illegally, including drugs and so on. So we have to make sure that there is a closer coordination with the security agents. Thank you.
Thank you, Chairperson. Sorry for my voice, I'm having flu. According to the presentation, slide number 4, it says that no new public harbors have been built since 1950, and it indicated the body that was building them, that was also abolished, that was 1986. And then in 2015, there's this unit that is being established to take over. But now, what I wanted to understand, between 1986 and 2015, what was happening? Have we ever done the impact of the loss that we could have? Because definitely South Africa, our people are unemployed. So we have the resources. So if the resources are not being utilized, so we'll have the situation of the economy that is going down and people are unemployed. So 33 years is a long time that it sounds as if nothing was happening. If maybe you can tell us what happened.
And the other question, Chair, is with regard to the staff, that they say there's a shortage of staff. And if, according to the presentation, it clearly says that those staff, they cover entirely about 3,000 kilometers of coastline. If the department is so serious, what is it that they are doing? And I also wanted to find out from the DDG, Dr. Bahan, if I remember very well, you were also administrator in the Northwest. How are you allocating your time? Are you still as an administrator, or are you still focusing on this smaller harbor thing? What is exactly what you are doing? And the other question, Chair, is with regard to slide 28, regarding the composition of ministerial structures. I'm happy to see so many departments are there. But what I would like to find out, many times you find that there are different stakeholder meetings where many departments are there. But what is important, is there any memorandum of agreement among those departments? Is there any role clarification? Do we know how much that? Because sometimes if the role clarification is not clear, we'll end up duplicating the service. That's what I wanted to know. And the other thing is with regard to the budget, I just want to clarify, $4 million that was given, was it the one that was given by China to develop the new harbor, the small harbor, that is the Northern Cape, Eastern Cape, and KZN, or the $4 million that you talk about, is the one that comes from the department, if maybe you can clarify. Thank you.
Number 10.
Thanks, Chair. And Juan wants to welcome the presentation as presented. DG, in our last encounter with yourself, I had 27 questions. I have tried this time around to be 112, including the comments. I'm worried, Chair, because seemingly we are in a hurry.
We are not in a hurry. You can ask your 100%, Chair.
Thank you very much. I'll do justice by trying to remember what other members asked and to summarize the memory of questions and comments. The presentation, let us start from the background. In your background, you indicate that you have got 55 unproclaimed small harbors. What is the direct impact on the community by having these 55 unproclaimed? What is the impact on the revenue generation by having such? How does that impact on the province service delivery capability? When one goes through this document, the one that Nola sent to us, you can see that effectively small harbor units exist in a name. However, one can assume that it's not functional. Why is that the case? When will this unit be capacitated such that it delivers and reaches its full potential? What is the current strategic APP target? General, I indicated that I have a memory of questions.
You are on number what now?
I am still on the background. I'm still on the background, and I'm going to jump some, but deliver this document to yourself. We try not to sleep when we come to Cape Town. We leave the village, we come here. And when we are given presentations, we prepare. How can the long-term lease be a major hold-up and a stumbling block to service delivery? Let us go to the second presentation, which is the business of smaller harbor and the state of coastal property. What is the required human capacity and organizational capacity for this business to be achieved? And what is the cost, therefore? What are the revenue generating streams, if that can arise? What is the cost impact of the PwC model, including human capital cost, on Operation Pakistan and the ocean economy? It is clear that 2014 to 2019 produced a draft document. It's an accusation. You are here. You will indicate if I am wrong. Now, Public Works must produce the committee within an agreed timeline and a milestone report the overall implementation plan, including budget for the implementation. That is based on the fact that I'm accusing you of taking the past 5 years doing a draft, and there's nothing wrong with that. But I'm saying, the capacitation of the unit must be considered at the level of skills and human capacity. Marine infrastructure development is there an SLA between Public Works and the Department of Fisheries? And what is the cost, or what is the cost implication or revenue losing element, if there is none? What will the department consider its presence in the harbor, and why? What will be the benefit, therefore, by having the department in the harbor? What is the role of the provincial and your regional office? In one of the slides, if it's not slide 38 or 36, you are indicating that you are combining the tender for civil and electrical to reduce the cost, and I think one member even raised this thing. How are you doing so, noting that fees are government gazetted? What benefits do you derive from that if fees are gazetted? I think while we are still on the infrastructure development, I'm trying generally to give a mood such that you as the king here, you don't take my citizenship. Yeah, I realize. I think it's like 40 somewhere there. What the problem is that I when I look at the slides here and the electronic one that I worked on, I realize that there are shifts. But the shift is about with 2 pages. So it's either plus or minus 40. The question would be, are these the only effective funding model? I believe innovation and the possible alternative funding stream must also be considered. I think that is in relation to page 43, if not 41. On property management and development, we are talking about the 16.7 million revenue received. What should have been received if the unit was fully capacitated? Towards the end of that chapter, I think slide 5, we're talking about best practice. One believes that best practice includes also effective monitoring and recovery units to be put in place, e.g. debt collecting or tracking system and immediate follow-up online payment of amount due to your property. I think it should be slide 60, but the electronic one, it should be 58. What are the targets for 1920? Because there we're talking about 1890. What are the current targets? When you go down there, you also have a target of 2,000 opportunities. What is the reasoning behind that? Why 2,000? Why not 4? Why not 6? Has the operational model been effectively considered? Example, stakeholder management, client-lizing, intergovernmental relations. The overall progress against small harbor triple challenges. One would suggest that we must consider alternative funding model based on alternative operational model. On your human capital resources, what does the program mandate demand? What is the strategy? Service delivery tool. benchmark, equally desktop, and best practices in the world and the similar scenario.
Is it possible to summarize? I thought when you said 112, you were not telling me honestly what you are going to do. But now, because we have no agreement to say how much time should we allow, I'm using my discretion now as the chairperson. Can you summarize, please?
I will not lie under oath. When I said 112, I was telling the truth, Chair. I think let me go to... let me go to the general comment. Yeah, you see, the Chair gave me luxury, and the next thing, there is a threat. On a lighter note, Chair. I think from the information above, clearly the objectives of small harbor unit currently has the best opportunity if funded correctly, DG. It does have the potential to create the much needed economic spin-off and the much-needed jobs for the country. But we will not achieve that, DG, if we don't have proper funding, proper plan in place. Chair, let me submarine there.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Number 11.
I only have two questions. The one is there research into the effect of harbor pollution on marine life? What research is being completed? And number two, is there any harbor cleanup plan? Sorry.
Chair, can I just follow up with her question? Number 12.
Thank you, Chair.
Number 12.
I'll come to you.
Okay.
Safe to say, Chair, majority of my questions has already been covered, but I want to specifically welcome that initiative in terms of the concessions for informal businesses. So my question is, there's a lot of potential out there. How do you create awareness or conscientize potential people in terms of this initiative that you have? Then in terms of no dedicated small harbor staff in the region, why is it like that? And how and when do you plan to remedy the situation? Because we know in the current economic climate, we are faced with a lot of challenges in terms of unemployment. Safe to say also that when looking at the whole presentation, there's various areas of vacant positions that exist. How do you plan to fill or when do you plan to fill their positions also. Then in terms of vandalized buildings, I'm just thinking, Chair, that when I look at how badly those buildings are vandalized, it seems as if there's no proper control or measures in place to protect the buildings. And now I'm thinking that existing buildings are being vandalized to such an extent, it's clear that there's nothing happening in terms of securing those buildings, but also there's nothing
preventing current buildings from being used for illegal activities. So can you give us some indication on how do you plan to remedy that situation also? Then in terms of lease payments not market related, we know that you indicated you have a plan to increase revenue and what, but there's no clear target, clear timelines on how you plan to increase the revenue, but also looking at the current non-market related lease payments or how do you plan, or when do you plan to adjust those to increase the revenue of the department? Thank you, Chair.
Number 12.
Thank you very much, Chair. I've got 150 questions between my good old friend there. Since you've indulged him, I seek your indulgence too. I'm joking there. I've got only just a few questions to ask. I think that it's really embarrassing that we haven't even built a harbour since 1950, making me wonder what we've been doing for all these years and all of that. So, quick question. I wanted to check the participation of black SMMEs in terms of this whole project. Are you able to quantify it? Participation of black SMMEs and all of that. And then also there was on the other slide, there, I think it was last slide, slide number 2 or 3 somewhere, where you're saying that the construction of these small harbors will have the potential of creating 1 million jobs. Can you break it down how? How are they going to do that? Clear? How is it going to happen? I don't know if this also might fit into your strategy of the construction of these small harbors, but you are aware that there is a problem with the fishing rights. I think these big companies or government is not actually giving out these fishing rights. There are a lot of groups everywhere, PE here in Cape Town, where you find that these fishing rights are given to these white-owned companies. So the participation of black, colored, and Indians on the fishing space and all of that. So there's an issue. So how far is in terms of the, how far have you gone in terms of being able to, to actually fix that? Those are the three questions I have. Very nice, short, and to the point. Oh, yes, the community participation, I think some of my colleagues actually talk about it. What is the strategy around there? Are you going to be consulting the communities? And we'll also recommend that the communities must be actually part of the ownership, must play a leading role there, or else you'll find a situation where those small harbors will be having a protest because you just put the harbor there with no consultation with the community, not with the community. Thank you.
It looks like there's no other hands now. It's the two chairpersons who will ask. I think one honorable member did raise an issue to say, in fact, I asked the chairperson, where are the ministers? Where are the deputy ministers? Well, those are the people we engage when we do oversight. And he said there are DG, there's DG, and DDG. Well, our focus is more to do with politics, transformation. You tell us there are how many harbors? Yes, small harbors in the Western Cape, 12. So in the whole country, you are still thinking. When we summarize that, you say, when we talked about Operation Pakisa, I don't want to say the 5 years. We want to see what is it that we are doing. Now, even when we talk about prioritizing, we only have money from the European Union, which can help us to do something that would create an impression that something is being done. So we are public representatives. So we can't be party to that. So 50 years, 12. It has got many implications, this thing of 12 small hazards in the Western Cape. It affects communities that we represent. I talked to the Minister for Environment, Forestry and Fisheries. She agrees that if you say that big coast in the Eastern Cape, you assume that there are no people who have got interest. So transformation for us, practically, when you say you have prioritized three harbors, we want to see that practically. We can't depend on donations from the European Union. We spend 400 million in the Western Cape, and you are looking for funds to help those other. No, we can't allow that. So I just thought I should raise that as the chairperson of that committee. And I think the department is too quiet. I think I agree with the person who said you seem to be spectators in the process. Department of Environment, Forestry and Fisheries. So we would want to hear your voice, because most of the people out there, they are asking us questions. Forestry, not forestry, fisheries seems to be centralized in the Western Cape. There's no touch out there. So now even these small harbors, they are creating that impression. So one would suggest that at least let's get deeper into this thing, plan it properly, say we are implementing it. Otherwise, I think generally I'm covered, Chairperson.
Thank you, Chairperson. I think with your last comments, you have covered me. Because, in fact, even in my opening remarks, I did allude to the fact that in province like Eastern Cape, that has so many kilometers of the shore, there is not a single small harbor that has been proclaimed. So you have covered the shore.
It's your turn now. Well, not necessarily to respond to everything, but you can make your comments. Including the environment, would want to hear their voice. Thanks.
Thanks very much, Honorable Chairs. Our colleagues in environment, they may have noted some of the issues. I will cover some few which I agree with respect to the usage of the IDT. Is something that we are aware of. We want to ensure that when we fully utilize the IDT, it is capable of delivering the service. At this stage, the IDT is undergoing some serious challenges, which we are working with them to resolve. There are some projects that they are undertaking, but at the scale at which they are in now, they will not be able to pull them through. We are going to reconsider this once they are at the stage where they are able to perform. And then I agree also with the Honorable Member Olumisa that we are assessing our capabilities to advertise tenders and adjudicate ourselves without us just sending work to the implementing agency. It's a matter that we are reviewing. We definitely agree with that point. His observation is correct. With respect to the presenter, Mr. Tawahale, he's an administrator, yes, in the Northwest, which is coming to an end. we suggested when he was recommended to be appointed that he should not relinquish his responsibilities in the small harbors in the light of the fact that the administrative function was not we gave him the capacity to be in the Northwest to the extent that he could do the oversight responsibility of both the department and also the Northwest work in terms of oversight. On site, there are people who are actually managing the public works space in the Northwest. In the area of the agreement between ourselves, I think colleagues will cover as to how are we rolling out the Operation Pakista together with our sister departments, which to a large extent they are participating fully. We may have covered the area of infrastructure, but they are actually involved in the real activities of implementing various initiatives in the ocean economy space, which colleagues are going to cover in that one. The issue of what we didn't mention is that the small harbors was subsumed in the real estate management, which is the branch in the department. It was not visible. It was only escalated in 2015 and in a program management approach such that it was not a fully-fledged branch. We have identified that gap. We are going to close it this financial year. We'll ensure that it is capacitated fully. And then also the employees are brought on board. The plan will be developed once we finalize the assessment of the actual capacity that is required. I think the DDG here, we have assigned him the responsibility to say before the end of this month, he should have come up with the structure so that when we go to the budget reviews in October, we should cover the gaps that he wants to close. May I suggest that colleagues in environment and then Kamakali, you can cover those areas which are critical. There are so many, although, but we need to ensure that we close. Thank you.
Thank you, Chairs, Honourable Members. DG, comment on the aspects of environmental affairs. Firstly, Chairs, we do recognize that small harbour development is surprisingly absent in the other coastal provinces compared to the Western Cape area. There are plans to identify sites. It's a little more challenging from an engineering point of view, but I think the strategic decision is that small harbors represent access points, they represent community points, they represent centers of activity, for economic activity, for formal and informal trade. So I think it's important to consider the other sites of small harbors in other provinces, and there is some work on that. I'll allow my colleague, Mr. Williams, to comment on aspects of that if there's more to comment on. Then there was another question on research and on pollution from harbors. And on this aspect, throughout the world, harbors are nodes of ship traffic, which means the number one chemical pollutant in harbors is oil and diesel-related products. And there is a certain level of acceptance of harbor environments that you will have that. It's very difficult to get away from that. What we have been doing in the Department of Environmental Affairs is monitoring what we call top predator species. These species are species like whales, seals, and seabirds that live in and around harbors or nesting sites close to shipping traffic. And we're monitoring them to look at any changes in their population or pollution levels that can affect breeding success of these top predators. Those are ongoing monitoring products that we have. More recently, we're looking at the chemistry. In the major ports, there are studies on chemical composition and chemical pollutants that are undertaken routinely, and we do have those reports, and mainly from the CSIR, the Council for Scientific and Industrial Research. they do validate that harbors are areas of higher levels of pollutants, and these are generally sort of facts of life of having harbors. The idea is, how do you manage that? How do you mitigate that? And how do you look at the outfall of outside harbors? You don't want that to get to levels that begin to impact top predators. Mr. Williams, do you want to add anything on small harbors and the development of other provinces? Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, honourable members, for the list of questions. I'm going to, Chairperson, if you allow me to go through with the numbers as well. Maybe starting with number one. The first question was related to the funding shortfall and has the current funding been utilized. So yes, the initial allocation of $400 million has been exhausted. We have, as the DDG has alluded, the fact that we had to prioritize the scope of work in terms of how we could get the most out of this particular $400 million. Whereas when we did the condition assessments, we saw the actual cost of bringing these harbors to an operational state of cost in the region of $870 million. In terms of how that funding shortfall will be completed, we've covered that within the budget facility for infrastructure. That there is not donor funding, it is from the infrastructure fund of National Treasury itself, so it is coming from ourselves as South African government. In terms of how much of work is left, we mentioned the fact that we've completed the removal of sunken vessels activity. We're currently in the implementation phase of dredging, repairs to slipways, as well as shore plank. Unfortunately, I know there was mention of the two tenders being split. However, it already has gone to the market. And it was the rationale behind that was civil and electrical almost complement each other. You cannot have a civil upgrade without having an electrical feed coming in with the correct type of power supply. So we have to integrate those two particular tenders for a strategic reason. The cost-saving measures are more related to tender costs in terms of advertising, etc. So it was just a matter of integrating those two particular items. Although the fact that fees are deducted, we acknowledge that, but at least there was some saving from the issuing out of the tender. The other question was the 60 million rand. The 60 million is donor funding from the general budget support program. It is solely for new harbors in the Northern Cape, which would be Port Nolloth in the Northern Cape, Port St. John's in the Eastern Cape, and Port Edward in KwaZulu-Natal. Those are the three identified prioritized harbors for the general budget support program. The question regarding the typo on 3-feet plan. So a 3-feet plan is a detailed implementation plan. When you do an Operation Pakisa initiative, or when you undertake an Operation Pakisa lab, you start at a 30,000 foot level, where it's really at a high level, and then you bring it down to 10,000, 1,000, 3,000, and 3 feet respectively. So when they say 3 feet plan, they just mean it's a detailed list of activities, what you need to undertake in order to achieve that particular initiative. Question number the concerns on policing in harbors and the vandalism. We have raised this particular matter with the City of Cape Town. We are working with them to see how can we get a space for them within our multi-purpose centers that we can have the Metro Police as a starting point within the harbors. We are also looking at the security infrastructure upgrade that will also assist in terms of mitigating the risk of getting people, mitigating the risk of the buildings being further vandalized. Mm-hmm. So the security apparatus that will be installed, which includes CCTV footage, additional fencing, it also includes some boom gates with a paid parking meter just as you go into the mall, so it wouldn't be an easy open access. So access control has been looked at. We've also been working with the SAPS regarding that, so that you see how can we make the harbors a more safe and secure environment because there's also a lot of tourists that come to these houses. On that particular topic, under Operation Pakisa, there's a specific initiative that relates to security and safety and security within the current harbors, as well as how can we secure the territorial integrity of South Africa's coastline. Okay. There was a question regarding how many women were empowered. Currently at this stage there are over 50 women that were empowered from the 250 jobs that were created. In addition to that, there was, when we did the training under the Removal of Sunken Vessels project, there was also one woman that was trained as a Class 3 commercial diver. And she also assisted the same marine construction company when they did work with regard to the dredging and doing the in-survey and out-survey. So yes, there is a specific focus on empowering women, youth, and people with disabilities. With regards to how do we get work accreditation from work experience from the council from engineers? So in our particular program, we welcome any candidates that want to get that type of exposure. Unfortunately, in this current particular program, it is a little bit late for them to get involved, because generally the engineer should come in when they're doing the design. That's when they can have the highest impact, and that's where the bulk of their logbooks need to be completed with regard to their getting professional accreditation. But what we will be doing in our new project moving forward is also looking at getting candidates from the various disciplines so that we can almost build our internal capacity as ourselves, as the unit itself. So in the current program, we did also do mentorship and training, but mainly of construction and management, not particularly on the engineering side.
Okay.
The role of sunken vessels. So the question regarding who's responsible for maintenance. So the department itself is responsible for maintenance of the marine infrastructure and common property within the harbour itself. The tenants are responsible for maintenance of their particular properties. So yes, we do have the funding, and that's what we are currently doing at the moment, is to maintain the current marine infrastructure that we do have, so that we do not lose these valuable assets. Because if we do not do planned maintenance on those particular assets, such as your slipways and your shore plate, etc., that's where they reach a stage where they need to actually be replaced. And you cannot then do further maintenance on those particular marine infrastructure. With regards to the role of owners of vessels, so DPWI is responsible for the land side, and the Department of Environment, Forestry and Fishery would be responsible for the seaside activity. That's where, so we receive rentals from, we receive revenue generation from rentals, and the DEFF receives revenue generation from the use of the marine infrastructure. Now, what we proposed at the previous Harbour Steering Committee was that we actually retain those two particular funds that are generated from the harbour to actually allow the harbour to become as a self or create a self-sustainable model for the harbour. The question regarding Richards Bay, Richards Bay is a port. Unfortunately, Richards Bay doesn't fall within our jurisdiction. That would be a Department of Transport and TNPA, your Transit Ports Authority. So we would not be able to comment on the container terminal there. However, we do look at any other state coastal properties that we do have surrounding SEZs, IDZs, so we can see how can we also integrate our plans into those particular economic zones. So the question was, what is happening in the 33 years between 1986 and 2015? So there, what would happen was there would be ad hoc, it was actually a ramp program, a repair and maintenance program, which would happen on an ad hoc basis. So if something would break, it would then get fixed. Hence we've actually established this particular unit with a specific focus on small harbors, so that we look at planned maintenance instead of trying to fix things when they break. So currently there is the DEFF is responsible for the day-to-day maintenance. They have a threshold of 100,000 rand, and then DPWI is responsible for the larger maintenance of your marine infrastructure itself. The other question was the APP target. The APP target for small harbors is the 20% revenue generation, or 20% increase in revenue generation. So that would be 20% over and above the 16.7 million for the previous financial year, and also the 2,000 work opportunities. So the information is within in the presentation regarding that. And with regards to the 5 years to develop a draft document, so how or what happened with Operation Pakisa? The initial Operation Pakisa Oceans Economy was launched in 2014. The small harbor development did not feature in the initial Operation Pakisa Oceans Economy. It was merely an annexure to the marine transport and manufacturing lab. And out of that particular 2014 Pakisa Oceans Economy lab, it was recommended that DPW convene its own Operation Pakisa Small Harbor Development Mini Lab as a recommendation. And unfortunately, from 2015 up until 2018, there was not any movement with regards to convening of the lab. Fortunately, in 2018, when we were under new leadership, we managed to convene the lab in November last year, where a total of 15 initiatives were developed, as they have been outlined in the presentation itself.
Thank you, Honourable Chairperson and Honourable Members. There are just small gaps in the response that has been given. The DG has already indicated that we welcome the suggestions and the inputs by Honourable Members, especially that we should have a session with the Air Force and the Navy in addition to the work that we're doing with the City of Cape Town as an example. The Defence Force was part of the lab. They participated actively in the forge that we spent putting together the 3-foot plan. The protocol of engagement, I indicated that already we have a draft that we are discussing with all the participants from the lab, and once it has been endorsed, especially at the local government level, it will then guide how we work. We enter into specific memorandums of understanding with municipalities in how we can work together on specific small harbors. For instance, we've entered into an MOU with the Reunion District Municipality on the small harbors that exist along their coastline, and that would include the work that we can do together on around Margate, Shelly Beach, and Port Shepstone as part of realizing the feasibility studies that have been done by the province and the district municipality. The involvement of local communities, one of the outcomes of the lab was that we should actually establish a community liaison capacity within the small harbors unit, which would be the first line of interaction on any proposed development in the small harbors, to ensure that where there are organized community, non-governmental organizations and community formations, we embrace them. Where they are not there, we have the community to put together steering committees so that we can work together in ensuring that we do not have disruptions when projects are implemented in the space of small harbors. The discussion also ensued on the proclamation of new small harbors, especially in the fishing space, which is the work that our colleagues in Environment, Forest and Fisheries are doing. The lab also looked at how non-proclamation affects development in the small harbour space, and there was an agreement, a shared understanding across that a small harbour doesn't have to be proclaimed for it to be developed. There are activities that are, for instance, more in the tourism space that would not necessarily need a proclamation. There are activities that are more in the skills development, higher education space that would necessarily need to proclaim. So that's why in the lab we brought in all relevant national departments and provinces, and we looked at the potential of development in small harbors, even outside the fishery space. There's also a huge potential for small harbors that would be more active in the arts and culture craft space. So those are the other diversified economic activities that we're looking at introducing in the small harbor space. The issue of debt recovery, apart from availing the state-owned properties for investments by the private sector through the letting out framework, there's also a function that we have in the region that manages contracts that we have with the lessees. But the issue here is that as a small harbors unit, we have seen a need for us to have a dedicated capacity for that to happen. At the moment, we work together with the real estate management services colleagues in the regions to collect the rentals, follow up on those that are renting properties from the state. We have a legal services unit that ensures that the contracts that we have with our lessees are enforced, and where the rentals are not paid, we apply the penalties as per contract. Thank you, Honorable Chairperson and Honorable Members. I think I will stop there in terms of adding to the responses. The issue of the 400 million came from the department. There is no money that has come from China as a government. That's I think one just had to clarify that as the last issue.
That then concludes. Oh, you want to follow up? Yes. 1, 2, 3.
No, it's not a follow-up, Chair. There's one question that hasn't been answered. What is the role of the vessel owners in the process of retrieving their vessels? Because I don't think we have vessels as we're sitting here, we're assisting someone. So what's their role?
Two. All my questions are not answered. One, the participation of black SMMEs. I think I was very slow to answer the question. I'm normally a very fast person when I speak. Number two, I said in one of the slides, you promised 1 million jobs. And I said, what informs that? Can you break it down? What informs those 1 million jobs? And then also was the issue of the threat on your profitability of your harbor is the issuing of the fishing rights. And we said, how far have you gone in terms of sorting that out? Okay, thank you. Okay, I think I'm partly answered the involvement of the community. Okay. That's fine.
Chair, my question is regarding the money that Mr. Sabakai is saying, it's nothing of that nature. I just wanted to remind you, this committee, we have an overview of public works and the small harbor, analysis of what happened. In 2014, South Africa and China, they signed an agreement in a 5 to 10 year strategic program for cooperation from 2015 to 2024. And that agreement allowed the Department of Public Works to grant source funding of $4 million from China for the development of those three new Northern Cape, Eastern Cape, and KwaZulu-Natal. And the feasibility study was also conducted. This is the documents from Parliament. I'm not citing it from anywhere else. Thank you.
Thank you, Yen. I wanted to follow up on the question of, yes, what clean-up initiatives have been earmarked for our harbors? In KZN recently, there was a sewage treatment facility spill into the Durban harbor, and the entire area had to be closed down. All recreational activities ceased. The impact on the marine life, I'm not sure what's happened with that, and I'd like to know how we're going to mitigate against it. I want to know what's being done about harbour cleanups. This is a salient issue, and it's across the provinces. And I don't just want to hear about these research into chemical composition of the harbour. What are we doing about harbour cleanups? What is the plan?
Yes.
Thank you, Chair. I think some of the questions were not answered, but anyway, I think the both departments must go back and have a session to look at all the questions and then get the correct answers. Because I don't understand when an official says there's something that is being done with one woman that has been empowered. One woman. One. And we are the majority of this population. It doesn't make sense. And the other thing, I think the issue of professionals wasn't answered correctly, because the Department of Public Works has got professional services that look at empowering the young professionals. And it's there's a department in that department that deals with the young professionals to empower them, especially the engineers. It's a professional, I forgot the name, but DG, you know that unit. That's why I'm saying that some of the questions, it needs the both departments to sit down, look at the questions, and then provide the answers for us. Because some of the things are happening, but because it's a rush, and they won't give us all the answers so that we have answers. So remember I said, if you read this document, and you know the Pakistan document from the beginning, it confuses you. It doesn't tell you what has been achieved and what are the challenges and what things that are being done to correct those challenges. If they can also look at that and correct that, and then those documents be emailed to us, the answers be emailed to us. So that in the next session, we know that this was not answered, but we have it in black and white, but I'm not satisfied in some of the answers, and I'm sorry for that. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. I will choose peace. I'm going to be short like a minute skirt. DG, why are you taking ownership of miniskirt? Okay, I withdraw the miniskirt, but I'm going to give a Bermuda. Check.
Can you also vote for
them?
Funny. People are raped and being killed. It's not funny. I don't know why you're laughing.
DG, this document presented before us, Chair, through you, I want to, the document presented before us, the assumption is that it's from yourself and the minister. When you go to page 58, it says, there is something that is currently on road to the Director General and the Minister. I don't think it's acceptable that yourself, DG, you can come here and tell us there is something that is on road to you. Let us not use bureaucratic processes to lengthen issues. This is a document. You can't tell us that a document is coming to you. So I'm saying in the future that should not happen. Chair, some of us, we like evidence. Can I propose that the department goes and writes these issues, even those that they've responded to, let them write and bring it to us, such that we can archive. The hostel that they've given me here is still empty, does not have documents, so at least we can begin to archive. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Honorable Chair. On the issue of the time frame of the plan, for the unproclaimed, I haven't had the time frame. When do we intend finishing it? Because I did ask that question. The second one that I didn't get the clear answer is on the vacancies that appear on the organogram. Are they funded? If they are funded, when are they going to be filled? What the time frame also on that one. Mm-hmm. And the last one that I'm just doing as a follow-up is on the DDG being the administrator and also as a DDG. Is he getting a double pay? What is it?
Inside, yes, there's no body. We also want to make a follow-up, Chairperson. The staffing of the unit, I think some process must be, we must get into that process thoroughly to avoid duplication. Well, there are many departments who have got interest in what you are doing. We want to cut on costs as much as is possible. So whilst you would be looking for money from Treasury, we know that there's no money. Before, you must convince everybody before you get there. So I think there's a general comment here that says maybe you will not be able. When I looked at the 112 questions, you may not be able to respond to all of them. You forget. So there's a proposal here to say, why not write something? We have asked our questions. Then you'll sit down and see how best to produce a record for him to file and for all of us to understand better next time. So that's one proposal. But if there are any issues you want to clear now, before we
break,
can do so.
Thanks very much, Honourable Member, Chair and Members. We accept the proposition that we should respond to in writing. Maybe there are, what we can clear is that the administrator is not getting new two salaries. It's only the salary from where he's appointed, which is in public works. The rest, I think we'll suggest that we'll accept the suggestion that we respond, because also on the issue of fisheries rights and fishing rights and so on, we didn't have a colleague who can address it, but all in all the questions, we'll put them in writing. I understand the expectation should be just before next week Wednesday. We'll do that.
Thank you, Chairperson. A word of appreciation on the presentation made. I think you have seen it, but within the presentation and the explanation, there are many gaps to be filled. As members have asked questions, a lot of questions remained unanswered, not even an explanation. So we're looking forward to getting those written responses, which will then forward to all the members. But if we feel that even the written responses are not really answering what we want exactly, we will then convene this joint committee again. because as the president had said so in his corner, jobs have to be created. So this is one route that we can see that jobs can be created by ensuring that these small harbors are proclaimed and are developed. And we don't want development to be centered in one province. We have heard here, even we have agreed that there are miles and miles and miles of the seashore that are not developed. And even in your graph, it shows that there is a potential of developing. It can't be Port St. John's only in Eastern Cape. You have your Coffee Bay, you have your Port Alfred, many, many, many places that can be developed to ensure that small harbors are developed all over South Africa. So we're giving you homework now. On Wednesday, we want the responses. If we don't get the responses that we want, we will have a special joint committee. If it need be, we will even have it on Monday, Chairperson, because we know you already adopted programs in your respective committees, that you have already adopted the program, but we want this ending. We have to ensure that it starts this year. The issue of the money that was raised here from China, it's in your report. It's in your report. That's why it is being raised, because in your report you are saying that there was money that you were supposed to get from China, and you are saying you didn't get that money. But it didn't explain that to us, and you are going to ask those questions. So members, honorable members from both committees, we really appreciate your robust engagement on this report that was presented to us. That's why we are here. We have to engage. We have to understand. So that when we go back to the constituents that made us to come here, we have clear answers. Thank you. There is lunch that is being organized, but some of us are rushing to other committees. Apparently there's no lunch. Yes. Apologies. The committee for Section 25, it's sitting at one. I think not Michelle and myself are supposed to be there. Thank you, everyone.